My name is Dorota Ramudivi, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children and Persons with Disability.
I'm Manana Kaki, a member of this committee. Good afternoon. I'm Muntu Nomalo, member of the committee.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Helen Lula, member of this committee.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Liesel Panamarva. I'm also a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Afika Tubazana from the Office on Institutions Supporting Democracy.
I'm Ilsa, and I'm also from the Office of the Speaker, OISD.
Good afternoon to everybody in this overworked committee. I'm Kimraj Anirudra. To the Commission on Gender Equality. Which committee was also late enough? PCV2 and everybody. I'm Kimraj Anirudra, the Parliamentary Officer of the CGE.
Good afternoon, my name is Tabrapo, Head of Research at the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon, my name is Don de Klerk, Head of Public Education Commission at the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon, my name is Mushali Puntu, CFO, Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon, my name is Jacob Mayama, CEO, Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon, members and colleagues. My name is Mfano Zarshozi, for the Commission for Gender.
Good afternoon. I am Dilaka Pushanwilan, commissioner based in Eastern Cape in the Commission for Gender Equality.
Afternoon, members. I'm Tanya Mpange, acting DG Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities, and I'm also DG Corporate Management.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Mzoli Sipidun. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for children and disability in the Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Verna Chavela. I'm the Chief Director responsible for strategy management at Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good afternoon, members. I'm Llewellyn Lowe, Director of Finance in the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good afternoon. My name is Lady Shonobatana. I'm the Committee Secretary.
Good afternoon, Christopher Levendale, leader to the committee.
Dr. Dukash for agency to the committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Pio Masala, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Minister of Women, Chief and Deputy Secretary.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Dita Gadogu, from the Ministry of Women, Children and Deputy Secretary.
Okay, once again, welcome. Can we ask our secretary to give us the apologies, please?
Thanks, Chair. We've received the apology from the Deputy Minister, who won't be able to join the committee as she's on sick leave. And we've received apologies from the members of the committee, Honorable Dichetelo, Musimane, they are attending other committees, Honorable Peke, Bly, and Kose. Those are the apologies that we can see. Oh, the last one is Honorable Morden.
Thank you very much for the apologies. I do hope that we will accept the apologies.
We are meeting here today with the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities to give us a quarterly report. I think we do have this besides one of the members. There is a document that was initially sent, but I think they have since reduced I think the presentation. Without wasting any more of our time, let us give this opportunity to the department to present.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, let me just apologize to the committee for the revised document. We understand that we're supposed to have sent the proper document on the 24th. We reduced it because we realized that it's too long and we wanted to focus the committee on the issues that we think are more important. Chairperson, I'll just go through the presentation and I won't focus a lot on the vision and the mission of the department. Before going straight into the first quarter report, we just want to highlight to the committee that we understand that the department is currently operating within an environment where there's continuous over expenditure and we also struggling to meet our targets. And we've done an analysis and we've found that the reason, the basis really for us overspending is because there was an anomaly in the key planning processes of the department, in a sense that the estimate of national expenditure were finalized without the strategic plan as a basis. Because normally you start with the strategic plan, you have a structure, and then finalize your ENE. So because of the challenges at the time, the ENE was finalized without sufficient information. And given government processes, once the ENE is confirmed, it's difficult to make changes. Even the MTF processes, we've realized that even the MTF processes will not assist us much to address the current issues that we're facing. And as a result, we are continuing to engage National Treasury to make sure that the department does not continue to overspend. The organogram of the department was finalized in December 2010. And then the strategy was eventually approved in February 2011. So meaning that the strategy and the organogram were not aligned and the budget were not aligned. There was also not enough provision for operational costs relating to employees. Meaning if you appoint a person, for instance, you need to think about their operational costs like computers, the travel if you're required to come to Parliament to present. Those costs are not taken into account and could not be avoided because these are the costs that are needed for the employees to do their work. Also, the department was initially incubated within the presidency. And because it was incubated within the presidency, the whole of corporate services was dependent from the office of the president, from the presidency as the structure. And then when we relocated from the presidency, there wasn't a thought about the cost for program one, but these are costs that could not be avoided and therefore we ended up overspending. And if you look at the report later, you'll find that most of our expenditure is on program one, which includes corporate services and ministry. We also feel that we've realized that the relocation was not really, it wasn't planned for properly. It looked like it wasn't, that it was, there wasn't sufficient time and planning done to facilitate the relocation, hence the kind of over-expenditure and irregular expenditure that we find ourselves in. The department has also had to take over some of the roles that were previously undertaken by DERCO, which related to women, children and people with disabilities. However, these responsibilities did not move to us with the relevant budget. and at the time we could not avoid them. Hence you find that some of our over expenditure led to travel. The department also at some point find itself, now with the approved organogram that was bigger than the budget, the department found itself with a very high level of vacancy. And there was pressure on the department because there were certain targets that it couldn't meet. Now there was pressure on the department to fill the vacancies, and in an attempt to fill those vacancies, then continued, we delved deeper and deeper into a deficit. We also made, if members note from the previous audits, the findings on our performance information, although efforts have been made to align the annual, the strategic plan and the APP, there is still a lot of work to be done because we realized that some of our indicators, the reason we're not, some of our targets, the reason that we are not able to achieve them is because they are not really smart or there are too many, we have too many indicators. So we have engaged in a process where we are relooking our performance information thoroughly to align it properly with our mandate and our current capacity. And we also like to engage with the committee in terms of reviewing the current APP so that we can be allowed to revise the indicators so that they are smart, so that we can then be able to deliver. We've also looked at what could we have done as a department to avoid being where we are at the moment. In hindsight, we realized that probably we could have delayed making some of the appointments until we had funding confirmed. However, we also realized that some of the activities would not have been able to happen. This is one of the things that we could have done, but we couldn't do. We could have also insisted that DELCO transfer the programs with the relevant funding. Unfortunately, this didn't happen, and this is why we find ourselves where we are. We could have also used in-year monitoring processes to allow ourselves and the National Treasury to detect these problems much earlier. As I've indicated to the person earlier, there is a need to review these targets, the APP, to ensure that they are smart. We also need to reduce them. What we cannot change at the moment, Chairperson, even though we know that we are overspending on compensation, legally we find ourselves in a position where we cannot not incur that expenditure because it's a legal obligation, and hence we are in constant discussions with National Treasury to allow us to get more funding for these positions. We also, as I've indicated, you can't avoid buying a computer, and Chairperson would note that we don't necessarily have old equipment, so not even in a situation where we could say instead of buying a new laptop, let the person use an old laptop. As a newly established organization, we don't have old machines. We also find ourselves in a situation where we have to pay people at higher notice because they were recruited at that level because these were transfers from other departments. So we can't avoid this person, and hence you will see the carrying over expenditure on remuneration. As I've indicated earlier, given that government is requesting, National Treasury is requesting all departments to reduce this by 6% their expenditure for the next 3 years, we find ourselves in a situation where we are required to cut even further on the little money that we have, which therefore means that the FF processes cannot be used to correct the situation. Chairperson, you'd also note with the nature of the findings that we have that it's a reflection that we didn't have the sufficient capacity that we need to have. If you were to go into our office and see the number of employees that we have within the finance unit, it's a number equal to just a section of the finance section in of the finance division in other departments. So issues like segregation of duties and making sure that you have everybody for each function, those issues are we're not able to address, and this is a challenge for the department. However, we've made efforts, Chairperson, realizing that we are not able to go and, regardless of how critical these people are, we are not able to go and appoint them. So we've spoken to other departments where there is more capacity in this area, because all departments have to implement the Public Finance Management Act. So we've sourced assistance from National Treasury. We will be getting an acting CFO with effect from the 1st of September. However, we've also, with the agreement with the Statistician General, we've also been able to get the support of an experienced CFO with some of their staff to come and assist us in areas like budget. They will also be assessing the risk management areas. They will also assist with asset management, because those are the critical areas and we can't appoint more people. We've also found that the lack of internal controls, both in finance and HR, contributed to the problem. And as I've indicated, this intervention between ourselves, Treasury and Statistics South Africa will assist us to address some of these issues and make sure that we have the relevant internal controls. We have also revised the type of reporting that HR gives us, and finance as well, the type of reports that they give us on a monthly basis, to make sure that it's reports that are able to give us enough information that will allow us to see where the problems are. I can also report, Chairperson, that our HR and finance now have regular meetings where they sit and discuss common issues, because if finance does not know who has been appointed, who should be paid, when, then there's a problem. So they continue to meet and share information to make sure that issues are resolved before they result into problems. We've also found, Chairperson, that the lack of proper governance structures, such as internal audit function, risk management committee, and the audit committee, which is eventually been appointed, we found that these issues also contributed to the kinds of problems that we've had in the organization. And I've already mentioned that the relocation from the presidency, the manner in which it happened, also contributed to our problems. Chairperson, we would like to say that despite the challenges that we are facing, the risks that we took in overspending, and we are not saying that was correct, but the risks that we took in appointing people and going to these trips, to some extent, it bore us some fruit, in the sense that we're able to engage with the sectors. We've been able to hold gender machineries, disability machineries, and have discussion on what the sectors expect from the department, what they think the priorities of the department should be. And the Chairperson, the committee would also note that we've moved from a point where the public was asking where is this department, to now being very visible, even though there's still a lot of improvement that is required. But now the sector is very aware of the department and what we do. We've also ensured meaningful participation of South Africa in international forums, in the sense that since DELCO has transferred these functions to us, there hasn't been a vacuum. There's been continuation as if nothing has happened. But that has been at the risk of us incurring irregular expenditure. We've also managed to establish partnerships with development agencies, and those partnerships have yielded results, in the sense that we've developed, we have a lot of outputs that you will see in the government information that have come as a result of those partnerships, because we can't do everything ourselves, and we know that the development agencies have been very active in these areas in terms of research and creating instruments like mainstreaming instruments. So these partnerships have come in very handy, and this is because of the risks that the department has undertaken. We've got the National Action Plan for Children, which is currently en route to Cabinet, which according to our colleagues within the clusters is a very great plan. So we believe that this is one of the successes that really the department has managed to achieve. So I will, Chairperson, with your permission, I will hand over to my colleague to talk through the permanent information.
Chairperson and members, thank you. Looking at the performance information, you will recall that the department is structured through four programs, as they are mentioned on the slides that we are looking at. I'm just going to take the committee, given the invitation that Chairperson, you indicated that you are also interested to get a briefing on the how the department has done on the first quarter of this financial year. Program one is administration, and we provide effective leadership and management and administrative support services to the department. And this is how program one is structured. It's got the sub-programs, ministry management, corporate services, and office accommodation. Under program one, we looked at the performance against the key performance indicators, and out of 63 targets in quarter one, Chairperson, 32 targets were achieved, 16 were partially achieved, with 15 not achieved. Chairperson, the longer presentation that was emailed from the department contains the 63 targets, and they are tabled out, and where we have not fully achieved or not achieved, we have given a reason for deviation. But the major reason for not achieved under program one are vacancies that were critical vacancies in critical positions such as internal audit, finance and supply chain management, as alluded to by the acting DG. Under program two, Chairperson, the purpose of this program is women empowerment and gender equality program is to facilitate the translation of national and international commitment into empowerment and socio-economic development programs, as well as to oversee and support comprehensive national realization of women's rights and the progressive realization of equality. The following sub-programs are under Program 2, which is Advocacy and Mentoring, Monitoring and Evaluation, Institutional Support and Capacity Development. They had 23 targets for quarter 1, 12 were achieved, 8 partially achieved, and 3 were not achieved. The major reasons on this program for not achieved are human resources challenges, Chairperson. And some of the indicators which were partially achieved are due to the consultation processes which still have to take place in the clusters and provincial consultation. And some of these clusters are only sitting in the next quarter. So this will be fully concluded in the second quarter. Program 3, Chairperson, promotes and advocates and monitors the progressive realization of children's rights through government policies and programs, and the sub-programs are the same as the ones under program 2, and they had 14 key targets, which 9 were achieved, 3 partially achieved, and 2 were not achieved. The major reasons for not achieved were due to the activities of the Child Protection Week, which took up most of the unit's attention during this period, human resources challenges and financial constraints. Since targets such as the draft child friendly cities or communities model is dependent on a donor funding which is currently being negotiated by National Treasury and the General Bank. The acting DG has also alluded to the fact that through a partnership that are managed under intersectoral and institutional relations, In the department, we do assess donor funding for those targets which are critical, which we think we cannot do without, regardless the financial challenges that we have as a department. Program 4 facilitates the translation of national and international instruments into empowerment and social economic development programs, and it also oversees and comprehensively reports on the realization of the rights of people with disabilities to equality. They are also structured through three sub-programs, the same as Program 2 and 3. They had 40 targets during quarter 1. 2 were achieved, 10 were partially achieved, and 2 were not achieved. The major reasons under this program for not achieved were due to human resources challenges, and the note verbal which was received late from DECO for the call for nomination for delegation to the UNCRPD of Conference of State Parties, there's a title for that. Mm-hmm. Chairperson, this brings me to the end of the first quarter performance. This is the graph that is projected in percentages against the achieved, the partially achieved and not achieved. However, Chairperson, I must emphasize that for the partially achieved, they are viewed by the AG as not achieved at all. So what is important is for us to focus on the green and the yellow, which shows the correct state of progress on performance information. But the way we structure the presentation, we wanted it to be easily understood in relation to the longer presentation that was sent to the committee earlier. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'll touch on the financial side of the department for the first quarter, looking at overall expenditure and compensation. We're a bit over, as you can see, but the rate is a bit high. Goods and services, we're a bit under, and transfer, we are on par. The CGE and then on total, we're a bit under. So in total, the department has spent 40.9 million out of the 172 million. The guideline expenditure should have been 43 million. I'll go into the guideline expenditure during the presentation, Jefferson. In compensation, as the acting lead alluded, that on compensation, that is where the department's problem area is due to the fact that the funding is not sufficient. And also, if we look specifically under administration, which is the problematic program in terms of funding, because we are running high on 11 million there and we should have only spent 9, although on the programs, in accordance with the E&E that was approved, the money or the funding in the three programs are more than what the warm body is at this stage. So during the adjusted estimates of national expenditure, we are trying to move some of the funding from the three programs, program 2, 3 and 4, so that we can shift that to the first program administration, so that we can augment this anomaly to say that we are overspending in one program and underspending in the other programs. However, in total, we are overspending on compensation, and one of the focus areas in terms of the turnaround plan, Treasury, is that we are going to move some of the goods and services funding that we have to compensation, so that we can try and augment this whole overspending, so that the department do not overspend on compensation in this financial year, or will try as far as possible. Just to give you in double format, administration spent 32% against a guided 25% spending. Program 2 in empowerment has only spent 17%, children program 3 20%, and rights of people with disabilities 18%. So in total, the department has spent 27% already of the compensation budget. As I indicated, the 57.1 million is not enough to pay the actual incumbents in the department. We had a consultative process with the program managers, so that we can see where we can move some of the good services funding. It's also addressed in MTF framework that we have submitted, that we will try to adjust our input in the E&E for the next three financial years, so that we can address the compensation problem instead of having this carry through effect of overspending, as well as in the adjusted estimates of national expenditure, where we also request additional funding. Based on that, a moratorium has been placed on appointments. The department is not appointing anyone at this stage.
up to the point that we can get approval from Treasury in terms of additional funding to ensure that we do not overspend. And then as part of the turnaround plan, we are working very closely with Treasury so that we can address this matter. Then coming back to goods and services, the department in total is underspending at 11 million against a guided expenditure of 13.3 million. However, it must be noted that on program 1, we are a bit over because of the fact that there are recurring payments that we are making in the program. And then in terms of program 2, 3 and 4, many of the expenditure is linked to various projects during various timelines in the financial year. As an example, on program 4, people with disabilities, the expenditure pattern there is that they already spent 2.1 million versus 2 million that they should have been spent, but there was a project in the first quarter that already addressed that matter. So in terms of program 2, the women empowerment, the expenditure for the women's month that was during August, the expenditure will now increase there as well. So in terms of program 2 and 4, it's project driven. Again, in table format, program 1 has been 27%, program 2 9%, program 3 11%, and program 4 27%. Total, the department has been 21% of after goods and services funding against a guideline of 25%. We are trading very, very cautiously in terms of overspending. We are monitoring as far as possible so that we do not walk the same road as we did in the previous financial year. As we've given commitment to Treasury that we will stay within the baseline allocation. In terms of Program 1, we've indicated that the spending there is not high in terms of the Ministry. The relevant duties in the Ministry is placing a huge impact on the limited funding that the Ministry is having. As well as telecommunication and office accommodation, we've already initiated certain cost containment measures in terms of telecommunications. As well as in terms of optimization, we have also looked at that matter together with Treasury. In terms of monitoring with the program managers, there's specific documents, for example, the cash flow. People must look at their cash flows before they engage in any procurement of business services. Due to the fact that if there's no money, the department will not entertain it, or if the money is not correctly placed, they will have request shifting of funding. And that is so that we ensure that we stay within them for our finances. We are doing monthly monitoring in terms of budget reviews together with the ESCO meetings and the MANCO meetings, and we can give feedback to the program manager as well as to the ACTDG and as well as the minister, so that they are all aware of this financial situation in the department, but also to sensitize people should there be early warning signals. Additional funding has been requested through the AE&E process that has been submitted, and the department is currently busy with the compilation of final documents. As we said, we're monitoring our expenditure very, very cautiously. In terms of transfer payments, we are on par with the CGE. It's a monthly payment that we are doing, approximately 4.8 million that we are transferring to them. And then on program 1, you will see that the allocation is 6,000, although we spent 37,000 rand. In terms of the information, that is smaller payments made in relation with immaturity, people that have left the department for various reasons, and we will address that matter through our compensation budget as well. But as I said, in terms of transfer payments, this is one thing that the department cannot see because it's ring fence funding. In terms of machinery equipment or tablet expenditure, as we call it as well, we have got our 3.1 million expenditure. This place is rather low because it's also project driven. First projects in terms of the entrance for the office building, furniture has been procured, as well as additional computers to replace all the redundant computers that was transferred from the previous departments within that allocated budgets. And then the final project that we are engaging in is the infrastructure for the physical security system, approximately 1.2 million in the process of acquiring that. Projected expenditure analysis overall, in terms of compensation, at the current rate, the department is going to overspend by approximately 3.6 million. If we do not finalize the AE&E, or if we do not get the sufficient funding, but as we said, we are going to shift some of the funding through the AE&E process from goods and services. Goods and services will have a bit of underspending based on projects as well, and we are trying to manage the funding there. Transfer payments will be on par. Capital expenditure will be on par. We're not going to exceed the budget there. So in total, we are projecting a 5.5 million saving. However, that money will be utilized for compensation. Just to break it down in economic classifications under administration, I think that's where our biggest of expense will be in 44, before the AED process, and this is specifically before the AED process. As soon as the AED process is done, we get approval from Treasury to move the relevant funding, this will also change after the second quarter or even in the third quarter. As we said, as part of the AED, the underspending programs 2 to 4 will shift this program 1 to decrease the overspending. We have requested additional funding, and then also in our MTE process for the next 3 financial years, we have already did a type of reallocations or a reprioritization of funding from goods and services to compensation. In terms of goods and services, we are not projecting over expenditure in total. However, in program 1, we might have slight over expenditure, but we will look in the programs that we will put money at a later stage together with approval of Treasury. The high spending, as we said, in terms of ministerial expenses, limits in terms of our cellular phones, because at this stage that is one of our biggest issues, because the fact that people are out of office in meetings running because they have to do monitoring as well, we are also sensitizing to say please, there's rather limit in terms of that. We are relooking at our policy in terms of our telecommunications so that we can also do cost containment there. In terms of the national level, we are limited the delegations to the absolute minimum due to the fact of the economic situation in the world for that matter, because it's rather expensive. And then also in terms of non-employees, when it comes to events, we are trying to lift the delegations as far as possible because of the fact that we do not have enough funding to have big events at this stage. And we are really getting very cautious in terms of our spending patterns. Transfer, we are on par, we are not projecting any other expenditure as well as capital expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Before I hand over to my colleagues, I must say that every time the department makes a presentation, then we are told about the time taken by migration. I think in each and every report has been getting that. It's becoming a song to us, However, let me say to the department that one is very worried about the continuous over expenditure. Especially that the department is spending, the expense under administration, which, extremely is over and above the programs that one needs to really see something happening there. But I think I'm very much worried. It's like we have PSMA in this country, but it's like the department is saying, never mind about the PSMA. We need money to spend without even asking for any permission from Treasury. We are going to spend. And I don't know. There has not been an internal, audit committee in the department. And I have slightly, you now have an audit, an internal audit committee. And when you're going to be answering to questions here, I hope you'll speak more to that. Now remember, let me note 10 in that order. Member Van der Merwe, Member Lamoul.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. I would like to align myself to the comment that you've just made with regards to the internal audit processes. I think in a department such as this where funds are very limited, it is quite concerning that we keep on talking about the issue of money, and yet recently when I attended the Appropriations Committee meeting, the Minister appeared before the committee, and she had said that the department did not only have problems with regard to leadership, but that she had heard allegations of nepotism, fraud and financial mismanagement, particularly in the supply chain management, and that she had instituted an investigation by reputable labour lawyers who had started work at the beginning of April and heard that this would assist in cleaning up the department. And therefore, since I attended that meeting, I would really like to know whether one could get any sort of feedback with regard to this investigation that was launched, and whether we could hear whether there had been any progress made with regard to these investigations. I also noticed on the statement that she made at the Appropriations Committee that the LOGOS supply chain management system was not yet operational due to budgetary constraints, and that there was no records in place. If we could also speak to this issue, if we could get more information. Also, Honourable Chairperson, I would like to know whether this department is sure that it's using its very limited resources optimally. And I would like to ask that because when we look at the different targets and programs, I would like to know whether this department is not at times maybe duplicating work that will be done in other departments. For example, with regards to gender equality, we've got the commission here. I'd like to know if there's a synergy between the two departments and whether we know for sure that they're not duplicating work at any stage. Because I think, you know, to say that this department is struggling would probably be the understatement of the year. I mean, if we look at all the figures and the issues raised, it is quite concerning that this department, which is probably one of the most important departments, are struggling this much. So I would like to speak to that. Also, I would note that the Minister said at the Appropriations meeting that they do not have adequate office space, and that she currently has a staff complement of only 129 people, yet for this department to function optimally, it needs about 205 staff members. And I would like to know how does this gel with the presentation that we've just seen, because at present you don't have enough funding to pay the people you currently have. And for me, you know, it just raises serious questions, because every time I listen to the presentations from this department and I go to the Appropriations Committee, it seems that somewhere there's a problem, because the things that you need, you don't seem to have enough funds for that. And also, you've gone to Treasury asking for a 40% increase in the budget, but, you know, it just seems to me that you're not ready to operate without those funds. And I would like to hear if you can just speak to these issues, because they're quite concerning to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I am just concerned with you all. Extremely concerned about this department. And I am concerned because sometime in June, early June, middle June, I can remember that the Deputy Minister said, when I asked what was done in this department in the first 3 years, in the public, she related to human resources for the first year, policy for the second year, and IT for the third year. If I am here, then first of all, I'm with an IT situation. We are still struggling, and it is unacceptable. At times when I look at this department, I wonder if they really know what they ought to do. And I'm not even insulting. But you know, we are battling to get the department up and running. And it is the most vulnerable people that are affected by the department not being able to vote. I don't even want to go any further into this presentation. I worked through it, and on their findings, and you related to that, PFMA regulations not being implemented. I never ever heard of a department doing their thing, not doing what the regulations were of the PFMA. I simply cannot understand what this department is doing. You know, in May, I was also in the Appropriation Committee one week. And I was very much ashamed. That was before we had our debate speeches. I was so ashamed because this department could not answer to the questions that was asked by the chairperson. And eventually the chairperson referred to National Treasury, somebody from National Treasury, to help them because they did not know how to handle their finances. They did not know that. We in August, the end of August, May, June, July, August, 3 months later, and it seems to me things did not improve at all. I don't know.
I simply do not know why I thought it was there. And there is an overexpenditure of last year already. What happened to that overexpenditure? Is it going to be deducted from your budget of this year? Because I never heard anything that Parliament decided they will add on to your budget. I never heard anything about it. What happened to the overexpenditure of last year? This was on the Afrikaans here, skuld op skuld op skuld maak, jou water van krop, en het lekker lief, so maak jy met die water van krop.
Brand aan.
You know what one lady said, that in the presentation I read of people being transferred from the department. In the other, in what the presenter said is that officials or employees impact on the budget, and she's referring to those that were paid at higher notches. Now I cannot understand why you go for a higher notch if you have a notch. Yes, I cannot understand it. They were paid for high because they were approved. I want to know what was the reason for the approval of paying people at higher notches. And then if they were so competent to pay them at higher notches, why can they not perform? Why can't they not perform? Why can't they take this department up and get it run if they are so competent to be paid high in Russia? I've got such a lot of questions, Chair. I'm working with so much. Exceeding my budget. It seems to me the department does not know that you have to stay or work within your budget today. You cannot exceed your budget. You cannot exceed your budget. And that brings me to a question. Line departments that need to assist the department, are they pulling their weight? Are they pulling their weight? Are they there to assist and to help? Because, you know, it seems like duplication is happening here. With line departments and this department, what are you doing about the line departments that need to assist with projects? And over expenditure impacts on one strategic plan. You will never reach your goal set if you overspend.
Overspend.
If you overspend on traveling, why people want to travel, I don't know. Why people want to use cell phones, I don't know. They are out and about. But if in the offices, why can't you set the targets for you? This is the limit that we need to work on. Telephones are there to just communicate, not to have conversations. If you need a conversation, do it on an email or do it by the letter. I don't know, Chair, I am very disgusted in this department. You know, I've got so many questions that I want to speak on. I am just very... One thing I want to know from this department is, who is going to go to jail on you people not implementing the regulation? Hi, Chair, don't laugh me. No, man, don't laugh me. No, I want to know. Each and every department needs to implement the regulations of PFMA. Is the minister, has she special dispensation not to go to jail on what this department is going, or is it the DG? I haven't seen the DG ever since I came to this committee. Ever did I see the DG. There was forever an apology for the DG. So is the DG really serious about what is being done in this committee? And I can assure you people, I am not going to excite myself about this performance of this department. I know what I'll do. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure. I'd like to apologize if I gave an impression, Chairperson, that we feel that we will overspend in any event, and that we will not implement the PFMA. We are very, as I said, Chairperson, my substantive role is corporate management and ensuring that the PFMA is adhered to is my role.
So implementing the PMA is a priority of the department, which is why we've said even though we have critical needs within corporate services, especially in finance, we will not go and appoint this department. We will go and speak to our colleagues who will assist us, even if they come just for a day, if it means we sending our people there on a regular basis, but we'll find means to be creative, the person. So I'd like to assure the committee that implementation of the PFMA, the Treasury Regulations, is not negotiable. The colleagues will tell you that that is what the minister, everybody, all the leadership in the department is emphasizing. With regards to the audit committee chair, it was appointed late last year, in the third quarter, yes. And since its establishment, it has met three times. The biggest thing that they've looked at is the annual financial statements. So it does exist, Chair. And then internal audit, we've now appointed the director internal audit with effect from 1 July. However, given the kind of problem that the department has, we are cognizant of the fact that she will not be able to carry out all the responsibilities over herself, which is why also with the Department of Statistics South Africa, we said, can you assist? And also we are talking to National Treasury. We've developed a turnaround plan. The turnaround plan lists every problem that the department has currently, and it says this is how we are going to fix the problem, because we are, as Honourable Member is saying, the Appropriations Committee did instruct us to go and work with National Treasury together. So we do have a turnaround plan that has not been officially presented to the committee, but the minister, because it's a document that all parties have to be happy with. But in the turnaround plan, we address the audit findings, and also remember, audit is based on a sample. So there could be problems beyond audit. So since I started on the 1st of June, there's been things that you pick up as you go along, and we've added those things as well. One of the issues that the committee spoke about is records management, which is true because it's also reflecting in our audit findings. We have now started to, because our records were in shambles and some of the information was still at the presidency. We have been in contact with the officers with the presidency to say we need a list of all the documents that we still keep, because legally when a function is being transferred, we must transfer all the documents. So we need all those documents. We've been in touch with the COO. I know that my chief director, HR, and finance are in contact with their counterparts at the Treasury, at the Presidency, to get our information. But in regards to filing, because we had a big problem with getting batches and all of that, we now have a functioning filing system within the finance unit. We have also converted the batch room, because initially our batch room was just a room with an ordinary door and a key. We now converted it to a proper filing room with fireproof cabinet, so that even if there's a fire, our information doesn't get lost, because it's critical that we're able to track all the transactions when audit happens. With regards to the report, the report has been finalized. I suppose the minister will be able to brief the committee properly on this, but the report is being studied, and we will come back to the committee on that. With regards to LOGIS implementation, this is one of the areas, you are correct. We are in conjunction with National Treasury, because it's their system, they have to assist us in implementing LOGIS. So LOGIS is twofold. It's the system itself, and then yourself having people there to manage each function, because remember, you have to make sure that there's segregation of duties. We've got our own staff that we've allocated functions on the LOGIS system. It's just that I can't recall now at what percentage are we at implementation phase, but we have November as the target for 100% implementation.
the colleagues of the SSA again are assisting us, because we just need someone to come for 3 months to just load the asset management portion of Logis. So there is progress, Chairperson, with regards to that. Are we using the resources efficiently? Chairperson, we agree that we are not, so which is why we've gone and relooked. My colleague mentioned that, for instance, one of our cost drivers, we found that it's communication, cell phones. I've personally had a meeting with Vodacom to sit down and find out what exactly does our contract say, who pays how much. I went and got a bill, a breakdown of the cost, and we then went to them and said, what causes this kind of expenditure? And they've highlighted the loopholes in the kind of package that we have with them, and said with immediate effect, we are changing. They've indicated that we could have had, for instance, where you could get more free minutes than the actual minutes we had gone for, the actual minutes. And this contract, Jefferson, it's a contract that I can't even say we've inherited it. It was signed by the presidency. Because we were incubated there, sorry, that word escaped me. We were incubated there. So, but then we continued to buy these phones using that contract. And we've told them, they're telling us that contract is coming to an end in September. And we said to them, we're not going to wait for September, because legally we don't feel that we have an obligation to you, but now we're realizing. And according to our calculations, Chairperson, we're going to save about 68% of our current expenditure if we implement those changes. There's also the landline issue. The landline issue, we've reduced the allowances that people have, the call limits, whether it's official or private. We've just said this is the limit that you're supposed to have, and with that change, we anticipate that we'll make a savings of about 26%. Sure. This should go a long way, Chairperson, in minimizing the expenditure, the over-expenditure, and allow us to at least shift funds in the meantime. Duplication of our work with other departments. Part of the turnaround plan said we need to re-examine what the role of other departments are. So I am personally studying each legislation that affect women, children, and people with disabilities. The legislation that, for instance, governs social development, health, all those departments that we sometimes find ourselves duplicating efforts with. And this exercise will allow us to be able to say, what do we do as a department? If there's something, there's an area where there's duplication, at what point do we come in as a department? Or do we come in as coordinating, or at what level? Because our role is not to implement. So we are aware of those issues, and we're addressing that. Also, with a review of the, if we were to revise our strategic focus, or try and crystallize our strategic focus so that it focuses us in areas where there is a gap in these sectors, then we'll be able to then change our emphasis and make sure that they speak to issues that only we can talk, not things that we are doing with other departments. We've also signed MOUs, and through these MOUs we're going to go further, because MOUs are at a high level. We're going to go further with the departments and say, what is your role? Who's going to spend resources and what? Office space. So office space is still a challenge. We've written now recently to Public Works, because they never received our needs. So we've gone again, and even though we had proof that we've sent it through, so we've gone again and done the exercise again and sent it to them. So we're waiting for Public Works to find us space. With the capacity challenges that we have, are we going to be able to meet our obligations as a department? You see, that is the exercise that we're trying to do with National Treasury at the moment. So if you're saying, let's cut down on our needs for the coming years,
what is going to suffer. Because our performance information is such, it's not very helpful, Chairperson. It's difficult to even assess with confidence that this is what is going to, but I will allow the DG children and people with disabilities to go further on that, because it's his area is affected. But I'm saying from my side, from where I'm sitting, looking at the performance information, it's difficult to tell. I can tell you with regards to coverage. And this is where we're saying we've asked for interim arrangements with other departments, but we need a commitment financially, otherwise we're going to have problems. With regards to IT migration, there's the different phases with IT, and what was reported was that, because I also asked this problem, this question, when I was then presented with requests for more expenditure on IT. The first phase was for us just to have our own network, the infrastructure, us to be able to no longer depend on the presidency infrastructure. So that we have our own platform. But there are further processes, there are further things that still need to be, for instance, we couldn't access the Vulindlela report. The Vulindlela report is a report from Treasury that allows us on a daily basis to be able to manage what is happening with regards to our finances. We're not able to access it because of the problem with regards to our exchange platform, and it needed CETA intervention. At the moment, because of this intervention, where we've tried to interrogate and say, where is the problem? Because I'm trying to show that it's not that we've been sitting and we're not doing a diagnosis. We're doing a diagnosis, and we've learned, as we ask for certain information, then we realize there's a further problem. So one of the problems that we've realized is that our financial unit is no longer even getting feedback from CETA, because CETA normally warns departments on the challenges on accessing the transversal system. But we are not getting that feedback, the state information technology agency, because they own the platform. So we are trying to rectify those things. The overall expenditure of last year and the other years, whether has it been funded, we don't know the decision yet. We went to the scoper in June, and there was no decision at the time, so we are not aware as to whether it will be condoned with funding or without funding. But we did mention that if it's condoned without funding, then it puts us deeper and deeper into underfunding. Payment of people in high notches. This has been a concern, Chair, but what happens is people have applied from departments. I suppose the best I can do is to explain how it happened. People applied from departments, and if you are already occupying a position, let's say for instance you are a CFO, and you apply for the job, you get shortlisted, surely you do well in the interview because you are already in the job, and then you'll ask for a better, or maybe you are already appointed at a higher, maybe at notch 3, then the department just takes you over. That was a mistake on our part, but that's how it happened, Chairperson. However, going forward, we are now appointing people on the minimum notch. We make every effort to screen the CVs and make sure that we get the right people. Currently, the position of CFO is vacant, and we are screening the CVs, and the appointment will be made at a minimum notch. As to what assistance are we getting from the department? Since I joined the department, Chairperson, we've made efforts to talk to National Treasurer about assistance, and they know that almost on a daily basis I was on their back about an interim CFO. But because I think capacity challenges is something that affects most departments,
also National Treasury told us that it's not like we have people that are ready to be moved, but we are really working hard and we are trying to see who can come to the department. And then eventually we got someone. And we do speak to other departments, as I've mentioned again, that we got some kind of help from statistics, even though it's not full-time help. But we try to see, to look around the public sector and see who can assist in the interim. There's a point about exceeding the budget. Yes, as I've said, where we are not, where we can avoid exceeding the budget, like the Director of Finance has mentioned, that travel, for instance, is something that has to be authorized first. So before people undertake the trips, there needs to be an indication as to where is the money going to come from. The printout gets shown to indicate that, oh, yes, the money is there. Our biggest challenge is compensation, and it's not because we disregard the law. Like now we're sitting with the challenge that we all have to implement 7% increase. So with the overexpenditure that we're currently experiencing, we will now go deeper and deeper again because we have no option because this has been negotiated centrally in government. So we all have to implement it. And that is the one expenditure that we find ourselves in an unfortunate position that we can't avoid, which is why we're working very hard with Treasury. We are meeting with them on Wednesday, again, on our budget. And Chairperson, I really want to assure the committee that it's the issue of over expenditure is receiving serious attention in the department. Thank you.
On corruption and fraud in the department, you did not speak on that one, on corruption and fraud.
The Nepotism report, I said, the investigation has been finished, but now we have to interrogate the report and then proceed. So the minister will report back to the committee, the chairperson will come back to you. But with regards to irregular expenditure that was incurred, because it's two different things. When you talk about nepotism, then it's not things that came through the audit findings. But with regards to irregular expenditure that was incurred, I have asked internal audits to review all those transactions and see if there was anything untoward with that irregular expenditure. Whether you didn't get three quotations because you know someone, you know, or was it just a pure mistake, you know. So we are reviewing those transactions. And then once we finalize the review, then we'll be able to say we are comfortable that those transactions, the irregular expenditure was not caused by some kind of fraudulent activities that happened.
There was a question that was asked that said, since you have overspent, what happens that do you get money for that, for you to be able to implement, you know, the spending program? But I want to add to it, to say, at the end of the fourth quarter, the department reported underperformance under the following programs: the non-completion of gender mainstreaming strategy, as was projected; the non-implementation of monitoring and evaluation systems; the non-implementation of gender barometer for job creation fund. The planned gender audit was also not undertaken in four provinces. The report on capacity building was not submitted to cabinet as planned. I can go on and on and on. So I think it relates to what happened, you know, when you overspend. Now you are giving money, but now I'm saying what happens to the program that way under performance.
So with regards to funding, when we overspend, whether we will get the money or not, you mean overspending last year? Yes.
so far we have not received money to fix it, so it still remains an over expenditure. It's still red, and we don't have the final word yet on that. We're hoping that we'll go back to SCOPA, and then this matter is finalized, then we know what's happened. But what they asked for was that they need a breakdown as to what exactly did this over expenditure relate to. But this request was made through National Treasury, and we provided the information. At the moment, it's not funded. Okay. That's what I can say. With regards to the programs that the things that we couldn't achieve in the fourth quarter, and so when I give this response, I'd like to go back again to the nature in which we put together our targets, because remember the SMART principle says they must be specific, measurable, accurate, realistic, and time bound. So realistic really requires that you look at your capacity and say, will I be able to do this? Even though it's a noble target, it's a noble activity to undertake, but you must also look at the current capacity that you have and then commit to that. So as we were going through the report, presenting the quarterly report to them, so we picked up that some of the targets really, there was no way that people would have been able to meet because of the capacity challenges, unless they were then going to bring in the agency, development agencies, you know, like your UN and stuff like that. But what happened, Uval will assist me here, was I think what we've normally done is to carry it over to the next financial year. But I know the gender barometer, it's coming up in the, it's one of the things that we're motivating to Treasury for, that we get funding for. But if I can ask you that my colleague assist me in this.
Thank you, Ekudichi. Thanks, Chairperson. On the target that were not achieved from the previous financial year, well, what we did was to take them and prioritize them for quarter one. And then we encouraged managers not to have too many targets for quarter one. You will see in the core business, when you count the number of targets that we had for quarter one, they were quite minimal as compared to those of administration, which is program one. The problem with the program one targets, they are very generic. You cannot prioritize. These are compliance measures that must happen. Hence, you find that when you look at the overspending pattern, there are items that cannot be deferred and say we will spend them maybe on quarter two or three. They have to happen because these are compliance measures. But when you go to the core business, there are targets that needs to happen, like the country reports, or a manager has planned to do formulate indicators for the sector, for example, and they realize that for them to get there, there'll be a lot of consultation that needs to happen. That involves a stakeholder consultation, traveling to the provinces. They were encouraged due to the current financial scenario that we are facing to not prioritize targets that they don't have budgets for. So as a result, the focus has always been on the carried over targets and those targets that need to happen because of those country reports that must be tabled within a specified time, and they cannot be taken over from one quarter to another. I hope that clarifies the matter. Thank you.
Really, when I look at the scenario that has just been put in front of us, I see a very gloomy picture, and it is very worrisome. And Chair, I come to the conclusion that it is this past department. There is no compliance to the PFA link. There is no capacity as far as finance management is concerned. And when you look on page 2 on this paper document that was given here, where they say, why do we find ourselves overspending and not meeting all the targets? There are bullets there, like the bullet that says the ENE was prepared without a strategic plan at a basis. There is another one that says there was no alignment between the budget and the organogram. So if an institution or a department lacks these two critical things, what do we expect, and will we ever get quality out of that department or that institution? And you know, Chair, the thing that makes me worry so much is that I don't know whether it was in June when the scope asked the department to come and present. They had overspent on something like 23 million. And now we are already in September. And I hear them talking about the turnaround plan or a turnaround strategy. And I wonder, if you have an overspending of 23 million, do you ever think that even the turnaround strategy that you're coming up with will ever resuscitate the department? And somewhere you're saying you're asking for more money. Do you think National Treasury will give you more money when it's very clear that you cannot comply with the PSMA or exercise control? So really, I don't know. I'm disappointed. I don't know. I'm just asking myself whether... Let me not go.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can say we are still in incubator. If the baby come out from the incubator, she's not strong, she's weak. But I'm waiting for the turnaround strategy document. Immediately after that turnaround strategy document, I think we'll see what is going to change, because there are things that will say you can't change it. That's why you are overspending. Maybe in turnaround strategy document, you'll make sure that those things that you think you can't change, they're changeable, you're going to change it. Because those things that make you to overspend, because you'll buy things that you didn't budget for, you know. And maybe in your turnaround strategy document, you make sure that you can't use money that you didn't budget for. That's why I'd say, Chairperson, maybe the turnaround strategy document, after the presentation from the minister, there are things that can see that we can say you said you'll change this in your turnaround strategy, but you didn't change it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, members. I'm going to have to end up here, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I said I'm taking the last two hands. It will take 1 minute, please.
Okay. You know, I'm referring to the MOUs, the grant of understanding. But the department is not even finding out who's going to carry the cost in plain simple language. Let's not think of any agreement under which you know who is carrying the cost involved. Okay? And then I am disappointed. I'm extremely disappointed. And to me it seems to me that employment, this department was established to create employment for people, not to deliver on what they need to do. I am really disappointed, and I do not take this matter. I really do not take this matter. The fourth year, any business that is to get up to standard is 3 years time. But to still be at this stage in the fourth year is a very hard impact, and that's the department to go back to the
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Let us end up by saying that I'm sure you can see for yourself or hear for yourself that we are really not happy. about your performance. And I'm afraid to say this, you know, we are going for a budget review report. And in that debate, we don't hide anything, and anything happens. So we are asking the department, when you come back with your turnaround plan, it must really convince us. It must really convince us. Otherwise, at this point in time, we are all hopeless. The committee is disappointed. I'm also disappointed in this department because, you know, every time we get a presentation, we are in the process of doing this. And we will never even get to get the report. So let me thank you for your presentation and really ask you, like, you know, you heard members of this committee talking to the SCOPA report. We were there, we were listening. And the department was there with a page. I don't know whether it was a page or two pages. They could not respond to questions that were posed by SCOPA. And they were still sent there to go and elaborate because they wanted the outline, the breakdown, you know, not just a figure, which doesn't convince anybody. So thank you very much, and we hope to see you very, very soon with that turnaround plan before we go for our BRR. Thank you.
Thank you.